the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Alan Quinlan, good morning to you.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Going good, thanks. Going good. We're obviously a lot of interesting contract news since we last had you on, so we might just do a kind of a rapid fire run through some of the main headlines, Quinny, to begin with, if that's all right. And we might start with Peter O'Mahony, 31 years of age, clearly an invaluable player when he's in form, and a long list of young quality players beating a path to him. That's the context to him. He signed a 2-year central contract now. Is it a better deal for him or for the IRFU?
It's good for both, I think. It's not a surprise that he's got a central contract and a 2-year deal. I suppose given the whole pandemic and everything, the financial implications of it, we don't know. Has he taken a reduction? I think probably the last contract he signed was on the back of being on a Lions tour. And you get those kind of good moments where you sign contracts and the timing is perfect. I think his form has been good. It was very good in November. Obviously, what happened at the start of the Six Nations, I think, wouldn't have had a detrimental effect on the type of contract he was going to get, because I'd say they were pretty advanced at that stage. So I think it's a good contract for both, and it's not a surprise. I signed a central contract, I think, when I was 33 with the IRFU. And I think Andy Farrell mentioned the consistency of performance, and having been there and done that and delivered, and Peter O'Mahony's done that for a number of years now, and has a lot of experience at this level. So it's no surprise. I think it's good business to get it done for both parties.
Just on the options coming through, if you were the Ireland head coach right now and all back row options were fit and available, and I appreciate the unlikeliness of that at any time soon, does Peter O'Mahony start?
Before the tournament, he does. I think with what happened with the Welsh game, obviously it changes the perception a little bit, and in a sense, there's a bit of punishment there, and do you bring him straight back in because of that, or do you let him kind of work his way back in? It depends what Andy Farrell thinks, but yeah, I think he does, and that's where it was at. Okay, Will Connors was brilliant last week against Italy, but you know, if Will Connors performs really well against Scotland and plays against England, then it's a different story. But I think, you know, it hasn't really changed the back row that I picked before the tournament, which would be Stander at 6, Starris at 8, and O'Mahony at 7. I think it gives a real physicality and a real good balance. Josh van der Fleer is a brilliant player, I think, but just didn't perform. And it's difficult because you get scrutinised if you're not a nailed-on starter on a team that loses matches. You're always vulnerable then. But he probably does start, to be honest. There's a lot of frustration about the clear-out against Wales. And I think, you know, he doesn't go straight back into the team. He's got to work his way back in. But that's where it's at, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Johnny Sexton, the next one then, turns 36 in July, 1-year central contract, saying himself that he won't be around for the next Rugby World Cup. On current form and ranking, obviously, you would say that he deserves it. But in terms of the future, is this going to delay now the prospects of Carberry, Byrne, or whoever it is going to be the next 10?
No, it's not. I think you've got to keep him on board, and if there is a transition or a change in other guards, I thought he said that he may not be involved, but
you think
he still
hasn't
ruled
out. He's left the window, yeah?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Look, when you get to 35, you're only going to get... I got it myself even at 34, I think. You know, and you get to that age, and I've seen a lot of my colleagues that I played with in Munster, you're just going to get one-year deals, no matter how good you're playing. They can't offer you a 2- or 3-year deal at 34, 35, so... it's just going to be 1-year deals if he does continue to go on to the World Cup. And I think if Ireland turned the corner, it'll be much easier for Johnny Sexton, because there's so much scrutiny on his performance as being captain. He's very vocal and confrontational, and he's been a wonderful player for Ireland. And you know, again, it's a 1-year contract. It's not going to delay Joey Carberry or anybody else coming through and taking the jersey. I think if they play well enough, if you get rid of, if you didn't contract Sexton and he left and played a year or two somewhere else, I think that's not the answer either. But there's no doubt that's the challenge for David Nussafora, for Andy Farrell and the other provincial coaches, is to try and get more competition and more young players coming through to try and have that backup. We've said it for a long time, the backup between Murray and Sexton the gap was too big. Maybe because of their high standards and the way they've performed and been on British and Irish lines and performed for Ireland in years gone by. We definitely need players coming through challenging those positions because they're such pivotal positions. But I think, you know, it's fine. I think Johnny Sexton will be pretty comfortable with that. I ended up being comfortable with that. It actually keeps the pressure on you to try and keep performing and performing for Leinster, you know. And even if he didn't get a central contract, maybe Leinster would keep him as well, you know, if things didn't go right and he wasn't being picked for Ireland. So there's no reason why he can't keep going as long as he try and keeps that level of performance high.
Yeah. An interesting proposition, like a 38-year-old, would it be Johnny Sexton starting at rugby?
Well, it's unthinkable, isn't it? Really, yeah. But who knows? It'd be great to be in a position where you'd have two or three other fly halves that are playing really well, and you know, Carberry and Carty and Harry Byrne, Ross Byrne, Billy Burns, Jack Crowley, maybe Ben Healy. All these guys really upping their game and getting better and developing more. And Johnny Sexton still lurking and still there in the mix. Mm-hmm. Someone that, you know, we spoke about the possibility of him coming on, closing out games and having that experience to do that job. Maybe that will happen. So we definitely need more of those young guys coming through and to solve that crisis and problem that seems to be there for a couple of years now, the quality and the depth chart.
Did you see anything new from Sexton last weekend, Quinny, to suggest that there is a slight adaptation to his game? Because he started to talk about this now. He started to talk about the end of the road for him. I wonder if his play is going to start representing that.
Well, obviously, when you get older on, the legs aren't as quick and they don't do what you want them to do the way when you were a younger player. But it's very hard to judge against Italy. I think it's very difficult for, you know, older players get so much scrutiny and get written off, if you like, when things aren't going well. It's the first place we look at, isn't it? Team is too old. He's too old. He needs to go. I think there's a balance to having that experience in a team. And I always kind of beat this drum because, you know, I got into my mid-30s before I retired myself. I retired at 36. And, you know, you're trying to convince yourself, but you have to respect what people around you think and people you respect and get their opinion. So I think Johnny Sexton is still a top quality international rugby player. And I still think that his temperament and his control and composure in big games will be vital to Ireland. Whether that be, you know, a squad presence or a starting presence, I don't know, in the next couple of years. But if that zip is still there and if the team turn a corner and we start becoming dominant again and winning matches, I think, you know, people say Johnny Sexton is the next Tom Brady and he can go on and play until he's 40. So the whole perception changes on if you start winning games and winning big games. And because Ireland have been on a bit of a precarious run since, you know, January 2019, and it's been 2 years now where it's been up, down, and that's why that scrutiny is there. And there's no doubt, in a perfect scenario, Andy Farrell would have backup fly halves chomping at the bit, ready to step in. And if he underperforms for half a game, that he's taken off. But at the moment, there's a reliance on Johnny Sexton that brings that extra scrutiny. So, yeah, he has to adapt the game. But we see so much kicking in the modern game now, won't anyway, that even if you lose a little bit of zip in your running game, he's kicking quality and his kicks out of hand are top class and they have been world class. So there's still an important role there.
We'd all be happy enough if he's firing the William Webb Ellis around the keys like Tom Brady was at Vince Lombardi. We'd take all of that. Kamara, you mentioned there just about talking to people around you. Is that something when you were thinking about getting out of it as to whether you should continue on? Were you talking to people around you, and were there people saying to you, listen, stop kidding yourself, it's done? Or how did that play out?
Well, you have to assess it yourself and be honest. And I think most guys are honest. The last thing I would have wanted was to hang around and tarnish the respect that the players around you have. I think you get a sense of maybe if I'm embarrassed here, if I can't make a tackle, or if I can't fill the defensive line, or if I'm not keeping up with the fitness sessions or whatever. There's a time that, you know, you're a starter in the team for long, you're an integral part of it, you have a bit of an aura, you can put your chest out when you go into training and know that you're one of the senior players and you're a leader within the group, whatever. And if that changes, I think mentally, it depends. People, you know, I suppose we see it in other sports where people just take the wages and they're happy enough to sit on the bench. We see it a lot in professional football. It's hard to blame guys when they're on 20, 30, 40, 50,000 pounds a week and they see out contracts and stuff like that. But it's something that I would have spoke to people I respected and said, look, you know, should I stay? Can I offer value? And then, you know, am I going to play? When you're involved in a team like I was for Munster for so long, it's difficult to sit on the bench and go, well, or not be in the 23. That's where the frustration will kick in. And that's where I probably looked at it and said, look, it's not going to happen for me and I'm going to take someone else's place. And it's time to do the honourable thing as well. I could have wrangled another contract maybe with Munster at reduced price or maybe gone somewhere else for a year. And that crossed my mind about going somewhere else and you know, with a view to getting involved in coaching as well. But you have to be honest and you ask people. So I asked close friends and people in the game. None of them said to me because they're probably careful in saying, oh yeah, hang up the boots. It's all what you feel yourself and you try and process it. So one or two listened and said, look, here's the risks. Here's the reward scenario. You've got to call this yourself, but you do get an opinion. If somebody told you that, look, it's you know yourself, Adrian. You know yourself.
Yeah, you're looking at them, sort of hoping that they're going to say to you, "No, listen, you have plenty of the tank yet." And when you don't hear it, maybe
if you don't, make those assumptions. Yeah, and if you don't know, a coach will make your decision for you, or the organization, the province will, and they'll not offer you a contract. So some people get into that situation, but yeah, you've got to be honest with yourself.
I want to ask you about Billy Holland in a second on all of that. But just before we wrap up, and just briefly on the contracts, one, Ben Healy, 1 year senior contract with Munster. And obviously there was all the interest that was there from Glasgow during the year. A 1 year deal at 21 years of age struck me as being maybe not an amazing deal for him. Now, we don't know the back end of what's going on there, but what's your view on that?
It's a better deal for him than for Munster because he's right, keeping his options open, you know, and seeing how things play out. You know, obviously, JJ Hanrahan is there, Carberry, Ben Healy, Jack Crowley's coming through, Jake Flannery. So there's competition there. And, you know, if Ben Healy signed a 3-year deal and doesn't play a lot of matches in the next few years, if the other two younger ones, Crowley and Flannery, passed him out. So, look, I think it suits both parties to see where he's at. You know, Ben Healy still has a lot to go in his development. He's a very exciting young player who's done remarkably well in the Pro 14, but and a couple of European games, but there's still sterner tests to come. And I think, you know, giving a player a long-term contract now, you've got to see that ability to do it at a higher level as well. So it's not a surprise that it's only a 1-year deal, and it suits both parties, I would say, probably more so Ben Healy. Now, the downside of when you sign a 1-year contract like that, if you picked up an injury or something, all that kind of speculation or an ability to move somewhere else can go away very, very quickly. If you picked up a long-term injury, and you know, clubs would be reluctant to sign players who get long-term injuries. So hopefully he can, as I said, go to the next level and show that ability at a higher level, and then maybe his next contract will be a 2-3 year one.
Billy Holland announcing his retirement during the week. Quinny, like, an amazing amount of appearances, a real, with in the best possible sense, one of those old school players. Probably never got the international recognition, maybe, that player of that longevity and profile, and was almost getting better as the years went on.
Yeah, he did an incredible career. I think got the best out of himself. You know, Billy wasn't a regular international standard class player, and I mean that respectfully. I think what probably went against Billy at times was the adaptability of playing in the second row, back row, and never really nailing down one position and then his colours to the mast. So he wasn't a tall second row. He was a, you know, a big back rower, but not a big second row, if you like. And but I remember Billy Payne had been involved with Munster when we were at the height of our powers. He's been involved at Munster for a long time, and everybody respected the way he turned up every day and was so diligent in his job and got the best out of himself and was a brilliant teammate and someone who's always played with his heart in his sleeve and delivered for Munster and led Munster, captained Munster, ran the line out for a number of years and was an incredible squad player. And I mean that again respectfully, because I don't want to tarnish Billy's career and say, well, he's not an international player and he hasn't, you know, he's a couple of caps for Ireland, which is brilliant for him. But he was an incredible player who turned up with a brilliant attitude all the time. And I think the longevity there and the way he's just stuck in there all the time and become a starter on the Munster team for a number of years and a real leader in the group is a testament to the effort he put into it. So top class bloke as well, brilliant attitude, great teammate. And, you know, he's played over 240 times now for Munster, which is unbelievable. So he's had a fantastic run at it.
Yeah, it's an incredible career, all right. There's going to be a lot of people looking at Thomas Park tonight, and a lot of that will be to do with Ben Healy and Craig Casey starting there. That Munster backline looks sensational. The two lads, Daly, Scannell, Farrell, Conway, and Haley Carberry's on the bench. There's more to come back in. Is it as exciting a Munster backline in its entirety as you've seen over the last number of years, or? How excited are you, maybe, is a better question.
Yeah, there's a lot of promise there and there's a lot of ability there. It's about getting them the ball. And I think the biggest challenge for Munster will probably be up front tonight. It looks like a robust, aggressive pack of forwards that they're going to face in Connacht. And, you know, the game in December, Munster were very comfortable in the game for probably 60 minutes and then 65 minutes in the last 15 minutes it all changed and they were hanging on for dear life. That decision from the 5-yard scrum cost Connacht the possibility of winning the game. So I think Connacht will be incredibly determined and I have a feeling this one's going to be fairly aggressive and spiky. There's going to be a fair bit of spark to this game. So, but if Munster get the right ball, yeah, Dia Linde doesn't start. Look, he's world-class 12 and Rory Scannell starts there. So I'd love to see, you know, Rory Scannell have a big game, get some offloads, get some distribution going. We know what he can do running forward with the ball. He's very effective at that, but he's got to add a little bit and hopefully he can get some opportunities to make some breaks tonight and keep the ball alive. But with the back three, I think if you get enough ball to him, I think Chris Farrell needs a big game as well. He's someone whose level has just dropped a little bit lower than the promise he's shown at times. And, you know, he's not being talked about as been coming into the Irish team now. I think he needs a big game. Bundiaki is someone for Connacht who I'm sure will be looking to have a big game and a big impact. And, you know, he scored that try in 2016 when they beat Munster there. And it's a must-win for them. They're 9 points behind. It's even at that, I think, you know, to catch Munster with 9 points is going to be very difficult. But I feel that, Connacht are going to come with all guns blazing tonight and there's going to be fireworks and there's going to be a fair bite to that game.
Just finally, before we let you...
Just very quickly, Alan, like we've been speaking about Munster a lot over the last couple of years and how if a game involves a lot of bite... they might not actually be able to get up to that level. Has that changed this season? Have you seen enough aggression from them?
I think, look, there's a lot of players there who can match that intensity and physicality and that bit of confrontational style that you need. Gavin Coombs has been brilliant this year. So he's got to have a big game and be a real leader now for Munster. You know, Witcherly in the second row, Obviously, he's got to be controlled, but I think Connacht will be really narky and aggressive here tonight, and I think Munster have got to withstand that and step up themselves, and their discipline needs to be good, you know. So I've seen moments of it, but as a collective, you want to see it on. You don't want to see it individually. You want to see Munster setting the tone defensively at breakdown time and not giving away a stupid penalty. So I'm not talking about any of that, but I just think Connacht, their urgency and aggression tonight will be high, because there's a real desire for them to get a result here. And even if they don't make the final, I think this is a massive scalp for them tonight to go to Thomond Park. So they've turned their season around, Connacht. You know, they've lost 5 games, but won 8. And a lot of those losses were pre-Christmas. So they've been on a good run. And this is a great opportunity for them to kind of finish out the last 3 games on a high by beating Munster.
All right, Quinny, we haven't even got time to talk to you about the Lions. We don't know where they're going, who they're going to be playing, when it's going to be happening, but we know they've got an unbelievable coaching ticket. We might get your thoughts on that again down the track. Enjoy the rugby over the weekend. Thanks a million.
Cheers, lads. Thanks, lads.
Thanks a lot. Alan Quinlan on the line there as always on a Friday, and we'll catch up with him again early next week.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.